This talk was recorded at Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society in Los Angeles and is freely offered for your enjoyment. For more information, please visit againstthestream.org.
So typically how this class goes is there'll be 30 minutes of practice and then maybe a 30-minute Dharma talk and then maybe 30 minutes of Q&A. But I want to just do it a little differently. One, I don't feel like talking too much, but two, I want to get some pragmatic, practical practices in place for you people. Stuff that you can actually take home and really, really use. Because we do sit and meditate on our cushions, and then the big high hope is that it translates into the rest of our lives, and it does. But it's really kind of important to learn how to do this practice. I know so many people, I work with students individually, I work in smaller classes, which I actually really like because we have time to ask a lot of questions and really dive into what our practice looks like. But when I speak with most of my students, when I have real conversations, most of them don't actually know what their meditation practice is. They know that they're sitting down and closing their eyes and struggling through something. But for the most part, a lot of times, we don't really know what we're doing. Does anybody in here feel like that? It's okay if you feel like that. I feel like that sometimes. And then it usually takes getting help from a teacher or happening to read something at that crucial moment when I need it or hearing a Dharma talk that kind of pushes me through a struggle in my practice. It's often correlated to going on a road trip without a roadmap, which can be fun. It can be an adventure, right? As many of us have lived, I'm sure, some really fun, adventurous lives that we didn't have a roadmap and maybe wish we didn't turn right, but had gone left instead. But usually if we want to get somewhere and we want to get there directly, it helps to have a roadmap. So instructions, I'm calling the instructions around your meditation practice the roadmap. And so instead of giving a talk tonight about the Dharma per se, I really just want to work on meditating. How the mind works around it, how the body works around it. And just, I'll talk a little and we'll sit. You guys can ask questions, talk a little, sit. So that when you leave here, you feel like you have something to actually do. Something to actually know so that you can see some kind of progress. I think that's helpful. And knowing then, too, that everybody is different. So one practice that could work really well for somebody is not maybe going to work really well for somebody else. And so we can talk about that, too, what you might need, what's helpful. I read this quote by Albert Einstein that I really love. It's on my refrigerator now, but it says, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." So it's kind of like that. In the practice sometimes, I sit and I struggle and I fight and I battle because I heard this one instruction and it's not working for me. And so I don't want to be the fish that feels stupid. I want to feel like I can have some ease in my practice. Like my practice is my practice, like it's here for me. So I'm going to encourage people to ask questions. I really want to hear what goes on, because it's the only way that I know as a teacher how to instruct is by knowing who's in the room and what you need. And I need a sip of water. So are there any questions so far? So we're going to start with a first practice that I'm going to call Where Am I? And it really is just that. We're orienting ourselves to where we are right now. We're orienting ourselves to this room, to where you are right now. So a lot of that work is working with our senses. We know the immediacy of where we are right now by maybe the smells in the room. I know there's a lot of smokers in here. I can smell it. That's immediate. That's happening right now. Now my mind can go lots of places with that smell, but the true immediacy is the smell that's in the room. The true immediacy is maybe the temperature of your skin right now. Are you maybe a little warm or a little cold? Just right. There's no breeze, so that's not here. But what does your skin feel like? What do you feel like in your body? Your contact with the cushion right now. Actually feeling the pressure of the chair on your bottom. Can you actually feel your skin on your clothes on your skin? Here we have a lot of sounds, so this allows for a lot of immediacy of where we are. When we can hear what's going on around us, we know we're here. Oftentimes we're so checked out, we're so gone in a story, we're not hearing the traffic. You might stop hearing my voice when we start the meditation. Stop. Did I say start? Stop. I'm tired. So that your eyes are going to be closed. So, you know, you might have some visuals going on, some internal visuals. But then the biggest one is going to be the mind. That's going to be the most immediate provocateur. And it's going to come in contact with a lot of different things. So what we're looking for with our senses, what you're looking for right now, is what happens is our sense doors come into contact with an object, right? So like I said, the smell would be the smell of smoke. So that's the object and our awareness. So those three things together is contact, what we call contact. So in any given moment, when you're taking a sip of that, you're experiencing contact, the taste, the object, and your awareness is the contact, right? I'm being really slow and intentional with this because I want you guys to actually use it for this practice and not just close your eyes and go off into whatever you typically go off into. So we're watching in each moment as we come into contact with something. As a new thought arises, that's a new contact. New object. So we're calling a thought an object. We're calling a sound an object. We're calling a smell an object, a taste an object. You get it, right? When you have a new ache or pain in your body, when your knee starts to hurt or your back starts to hurt, an object coming into contact. And then what happens is we immediately have a feeling about it. And when I say feeling, I don't mean like an emotion, I mean an actual, we either like it or we don't like it. So if a thought pops into your mind that you're really into and we like it, right, so pleasant, then we often will lean into it and we want more of it. We get a little greedy. We start clinging. We start craving. We want more. So just paying attention to that, noticing how the flow, the tendency of the mind. If you hear something, you know, I don't know if any of you ride bikes in here, but, you know, if you hear something, and oftentimes, you know, different guys will try to assess if that was a Ducati or a Harley or what it was, right? When we hear something, the second we have that contact, can we just hear something as a sound, or do we get caught instantly in the story? We're following the bike down the road. All I'm asking you to do right now is to pay attention. So this first part is, where am I? So that means you want to stay right here where we are. Where am I right now? Not where do I want to go with each contact, but actually where am I right now? And there's actually some relief in that. We get the opportunity to put the story down. We can kind of take a break. We can ease up on how busy this mind gets. And it kind of puts a stop on the flow of time, you know? We're always moving, but right here, nothing's moving. Each moment, we're bringing our whole history. I kind of like to think about this. What is going on right now? We're bringing our histories. We're bringing sort of the projection of our future. We're bringing our memories. We're bringing nostalgia. We're bringing hope. All of those things that we could possibly think about, we're bringing into this room right now. Because it doesn't exist anywhere else. And that takes a lot of energy. And when we actually bring ourselves into this moment, into this reality, it shatters that illusion, right? It allows us the opportunity just to exist here in this being. We're not creating another being. We're not living in a being that already happened. We're sort of breaking our delusion and our relationship to delusion. Any questions about that? It's a big practice. But it's an important practice. Clearly seeing is what creates this wisdom that we're looking for in our liberation. So clearly seeing means we need to be right here. Want to try it? So I don't want you to get too caught up on a posture. Just be comfortable and awake. So not too comfortable that sleep is imminent. But I don't want you to spend too much time being uncomfortable, tweaking out about that. And just one more thing I want to add is we get bored really easily, right? Our mind does not like being bored, and that's when we get in trouble. That's when we start making things up and finding things that are interesting in our minds. So I'm going to invite you to be curious about your body, to be curious about your mind, to be curious about these senses that are happening all the time. So really notice. I'm asking you to pay attention, right? So when you hear something, noticing, I'm hearing. When you're starting to think something, noticing, I'm thinking. And on with the senses. So don't do your typical practice of going to the breath. Unless in that moment you're noticing I'm breathing. Then please notice that. Pay attention to that. But really see if you can stay awake and aware as each sense is in contact with an object. Okay, I'm really going to stop now. So closing your eyes if that's what you do. If not, then just pick a still spot in front of you. Preferably not a human. And so what you're actually being given permission to do is nothing, except for paying attention. Paying attention and asking the question, where am I? And the question will be answered in each moment as you're aware of your senses. So really allowing yourself to settle into your body. Feeling the contact of where you're sitting. What it feels like to be in your skin. Noticing the sounds around you. And so really paying attention to every time something new comes into your awareness. It might happen rapidly, or maybe you'll stay on something for a while. All you're being asked to do is to pay attention. No matter where your mind takes you, just knowing you're having a thought, and remembering, where am I right now? So over and over again, we're not trying to analyze anything or figure anything out. All we're doing is noticing. Waking up over and over again to where we actually are. And we're doing that through our sense doors. Maybe one is stronger than another for you right now. Like, I'm feeling particularly warm, so for me, touch is the most prevalent. Maybe it's sound for you or smell. Maybe it's the mind. And there's no need to judge or beat yourself up if you get caught in a thought. Just reward yourself in a way for remembering to come back. Coming back. Where am I right now? And if you're struggling in this in any way, just notice if you're striving, if you're trying to make something happen, if you're trying to force something. Maybe just take a slightly different stance and look at it as just allowing. Hearing is going to happen, smelling is going to happen, thinking is going to happen, so we don't have to make anything happen. Just allow it to come and notice when it does. See if you can notice, if you can hold two senses at the same time, if that's even possible. See if you can notice as one arises and another passes. No matter what you can think up right now, no matter what kind of dialogue is going on in your head, it's happening here. It's happening right here. Where are you right now? Locate yourself in this room through the sense doors. Allow yourself just to receive what's happening. You actually can't do it wrong. So as simple as it sounds to just get the opportunity to do nothing, you know, typically in life, if someone said to me, you get to do nothing right now, I would be so happy, you know? It would be that thing that I'd want to hear. But then when we actually are given that permission, it's really difficult. We start creating all kinds of alternate realities. This is where we're different than the whole world out there, right? Is that what we're doing is actually sitting here, taking an hour and a half out of your day and sitting here, slowing it down. We're like pulling the rug back, you know? We're seeing, we're breaking it down into what's actually happening. I mean, how often are we walking around doing that? But this is where we're practicing. We're practicing sort of, you know, lifting the wizard's veil and seeing what's actually really happening. What's actually really happening is, you know, there's this little cochlear whatever tube vibrating every time a sound arises. And then our mind creates what that sound is. It's really just a vibration, right? And then we carry it all the way off into whatever it is we're doing. You know, I was thinking about music today. Oh, I'll talk about it at the next part. Well, I'll move into the next part a little bit with it. Is, you know, when we are listening to music, which again are just vibrations, the moods that it evokes, what it creates in us, where we go. Sometimes we want to, you know, I was needing to hear love songs the other day, you know, so I turned on some love songs because I wanted to provoke that feeling inside of me. And when you think about it, it's just a vibration, right? So that's how far we can go with this. So what the practice is, this particular practice that I just gave you, is seeing if you can really, really slow it down. Sound, hearing, period. Touch, warmth, period, right? This is our work. Okay, so the next thing I want to work on is really is our mood, the mood behind the thoughts. the attitude behind the story, the attitude behind the object, just kind of like what I was saying just now, is the stories that we are telling ourselves. See if you can see what's right behind that. So in a way, like I was talking about the music, right? What we're really provoking in turning on a certain song is a mood that might already be there, or that we want to be there. I asked my son today how school was, and he said, you know, it was really fine. And I said, do you ever not have fun days? And he said, yeah, and it's usually when I'm in a bad mood, you know? So we bring our mood into situations. We bring our attitudes into situations. When I was doing my sit this morning, I was very much in a planning mood because I was thinking about tonight. So as I was sitting there this morning, I was very much thinking about what I wanted to talk about and how I wanted to teach and what that would look like. So everything that came up and through my head was in a planning mood, a planning attitude. When we're having a lot of fear in a day, most likely everything we see is a little bit scary. I'm having a hard time sort of saying how I want to have you practice this, though. So maybe sort here. We'll just do it, and I'll make it up as I go along. But I want you to, even before you close your eyes, sort of check out what your mood is. Does anybody have a mood that's going right now? An attitude that's going? Nobody?
I've been having a mood where it's a repetition of just very difficult emotions, in which I've been very aware of maybe choices I made in the past that haven't been helpful. And so those are coming up again, so the mood is more of saying, wanting to stay with, oh, that you failed back then.
Right.
But you're going to fail again this time.
Okay.
So.
Perfect. Thank you. So, what we're doing right here now is sort of turning our mind on the mind, in a way. So whatever the story is, I want you to look at what's behind the story. Let's just do it, and I'm hoping it'll make more sense as we go. So the object isn't so important. It's the mood that you're having because of the object. So really now the question we're sort of asking is, how am I? Is there a general mood right now of anxiousness or boredom, tiredness, doubt? Fear, and just noticing how thoughts will arise to support that. Or in reverse, notice as thoughts arise, just what the sort of general mood is of the thought. Is it creating anxiety? Is there judgment? opinion? Is there desire or craving? So we're not so much looking at what the actual thought is, but what it evokes. And paying attention to if what it evokes causes you more suffering. So we're not saying there's a right or a wrong, just a noticing. The tendency of your mind right now. Just really paying attention to the mood. Maybe there's frustration. Sometimes it's subtle. But what the practice is being able to notice the subtle and allowing it to be there. Nothing is not welcome right now. Whatever the mood, see if, like the little child, you can just allow it to be there. Whatever's behind the conversation in your mind. And see if you can notice when it changes. Maybe a sound instigates another mood. So see if you can just keep turning the mind on the mind. Really paying attention to what's behind the story. So we have all of these very natural, very human, latent tendencies that are living inside of us. And we come into contact with some experience or some person or something, and it awakes it. You know, the best ones are love and anger. You know, it's that person makes me love, or that person makes me angry, or that person scares me. And what's happening is love or anger or fear are being ignited by this contact. Like I was saying before, our sense doors plus the object plus our awareness creates this contact. And so again, if we can really pay attention to the mood, to pay attention to the love that's happening as that story is playing, pay attention to the anxiety that's happening as that story is playing, really get into contact with that versus the wheel that we continually get on with the story. There's a lot of forgiveness in that. There's a lot of forgiveness in I'm human and I love. I'm human and I get lonely. There's a lot more space, a lot more understanding. So it's 9:00. So let's just sit for a few seconds together. And please, if you found any value in anything you've heard tonight, take it with you and share it. If anything in any way harmed you or was unskillful that I said tonight, please forgive me. May you be happy. May you be at peace and at ease. May you feel safe and protected from harm. May you be free.
You have just listened to a podcast from Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society. If you'd like to make a contribution to help support these teachings, please visit againstthestream.org.